The human voice has a complex timbre, and trained opera singers do tricks with their voice which can be very complex. As such, I've not been able to remove every click from the Rusalka piece. Paradoxically, sometimes removing a click can actually make the click louder, or just ruin the voice. So, sometimes you have to leave them in. However, I've removed every click that I think should be removed, and that I noticed. And if I didn't notice it, it's likely that the listener won't notice it either. The recording goes past the part where the music ends, and in that section I haven't edited it, because the clicks and so on that are in that section will be useful for the algorithm when it's trying to remove the hiss. Which brings us to our next section, removing the hiss. Audacity has a fairly good algorithm for noise removal, and for a modern recording, you wouldn't need to use much else than that algorithm. However, this is not a modern recording. It's from 1915. The hiss is much more prevalent, and we're going to have to take a couple steps to make sure that not too much of the original sound is removed, as well as the hiss. What we're going to do is to split this into two tracks. On one of these tracks, we're going to remove the hiss. The other is just going to be the one we have now, with the clicks removed, but no other changes. We can then tweak the volume of both tracks, and if we're careful, we can make it that the hiss is much reduced, if not gone, but Emmy Destin's voice isn't damaged. At least, not that anyone can notice. Here's how we do this. Under the Edit menu, choose Select All. See Figure 7 if you can't find it. You can also click Control A, which is a keyboard shortcut. We now want to duplicate the selection. We can either choose Duplicate from the Edit menu, see Figure 8, or we can use Control D, the keyboard shortcut. You should now have two identical tracks, as in Figure 9. Click anywhere on one of the tracks, and it will unselect them. Now we need to find a bit of typical noise to put into the noise removal tool. This file is convenient because it has noise at both the start and finish. We're going to be using the bit at the finish because it also has a few clicks. However, to make this extra good, we're also going to then go back, take a duplicate of the unedited version, and apply the noise removal from the beginning. By blending these three tracks together, we can get an even better file than we would with two. Okay, we need to select a section of noise. Preferably, you want at least half a second to a second. However, it's important that we don't include anything that we want to leave in, such as a bit of the fading noise of the trumpet or the last echoes of the song. So make sure to listen to the section you've selected before moving on to the next step. Let's have a listen now. That's a bit too much. You can hear the last note fading away. Let's try again. That's better. There might still be a tiny bit of last note in there somewhere, but if we removed anything more, we wouldn't have enough left to work with. Since we're blending in the original as well, it's probably safe. With the section of noise that you want to remove selected, go to the Effects menu and choose Noise Removal, as seen in Figure 10. This brings up the box seen in Figure 11, which I've added a couple notes to. For now, click Get Noise Profile, which I've numbered with 1. This closes the box, but it's stored the noise you've selected into memory. We now need to select what we want to apply the noise removal to. In this case, and indeed in most cases, this is going to be just one of the tracks. The easiest way to select just one track is to click on one track. It's probably easiest to choose the bottom in this case. Then, click Home twice. This sends the cursor to the start. Hold Shift, then press End. This should select the entire track. If this doesn't work, go to the View menu, choose Fit in Window so that you can see the entire track at once, then click and drag to highlight the entire bottom track. You may then return it to normal view if desired. Once you have one of the tracks selected, go to the Effects menu and choose the Noise Removal tool again. This next part requires a little bit of experimentation. The goal is to use the slider bar, labeled 2 in Figure 11, to find the best balance between the two possible problems. If you remove too little noise, you get metallic distortions that sound like this. However, if you remove too much, in the most extreme cases, you get something like this. The preview button, labeled 3 in Figure 11, will help you a bit here. If you hear metallic distortion when you click the preview button, your slider is too far left. Start fairly far to the left, and move right if you continue hearing metallic noises when you hit the preview button. Once you think you have it right, hit the button labeled Remove Noise, labeled 4 in Figure 11. You should now listen to it through without any other tracks. To do this, click the solo button, seen in Figure 12. This will play only the tracks with the solo button clicked. It turns out that once you've removed the jaggy metallic sounds, you end up with a track that sounds like this in this case. This is not ideal. Such problems usually indicate that you chose the wrong noise for the noise reduction sample, or that the original track had quite a lot of static. Unfortunately, the latter is true in this case, which is why we're going to be using 3 tracks, not just these 2. However, note that this already does improve the original file. Have a listen to this, which includes that track carefully blended in with the original. Just to remind you, the original had much more static and sounded like this. Already, we begin to bring out some of Emmy Destin's voice from the static that overwhelms it. The next step is to make several more tracks using other parts of noise found in this file. This will not always be necessary, however it is in this case, because there is quite a lot of static. What we do is we go back to the track that only had the clicks removed from it, no other adjustments, and we select it and duplicate it. We can then go on and remove noise from it again several times, always making sure that we keep one track that only had the clicks removed from it. We'll need that to blend in with the rest of them. I'll pause here and continue in a moment. I've now created several more tracks, as seen in Figure 12. As I said before, for most files, just the one will be enough, and you can blend that in with the first one. However, this one had a lot of static, so several were needed, just to try and find the average that brings out the original a bit more. Still, unless one does the entire restoration in advance, it's very hard to tell whether something is going to be a perfect teaching tool or might have a couple problems that you'll have to just go off and fix by yourself. So, for our final step, we need to tweak the volume of the various things and try to combine it into a perfect, or at least as perfect as you can get, sound file. On Figure 13, which is probably more complex than the one that you'll need to be working with, you will see several sliders, which I have labeled with a 1. Well, several ones. These are the volume sliders. You combine the file together by tweaking these, moving them back and forth, and trying to figure out what volumes to use for the original, and the restored, and so on, to get the best mix. Don't skimp on the original. If you use too little of the original, you lose a lot of the charm and something of the timbre that just sounds wrong. I find a good place to start is usually about -3 decibels for the original and -6 decibels for the restored version. This presuming that you only have the original and a hiss-reduced version. You can then go on and mix and match this as necessary for your file. Finally, make sure to listen to your file through. You may have missed something in the very loud sections of your file that isn't as apparent in the quieter sections. One thing you must not do is to overblow the speakers. This can be checked by looking at the area marked 2 in Figure 13. This tells you the volume of the sound while it is playing. And if it goes too high, a red line will appear at the far right, indicating that you've gone too far and distortion is going to have to happen in order to play that noise. That's bad. If that happens, go back and reduce the volume for every track by 3 decibels or so. So, the track that we were working on today, was it a complete success? No. Did we manage to improve it, however? Yes. Let's close by listening to this track. Thank you all. See you next time.